Well, let us open our Bibles at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, and we'll read the first 6 verses of this chapter, which, God willing, we will cover this evening in the message. Romans chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 1 to the end of verse 6. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And so reads God's precious word to us. I found it difficult to come up with a title for this message that I was felt that really covered the message, but I'm going to stick with the one that I did stick with, which was human and divine judgment. Human and divine judgment. And I want to look at primarily the danger of human judgment. The danger of human judgment. And without any more introduction, I'll just get into the points that we want to see in our text this evening. First of all, human judgment is dangerous because of our guilt. Human judgment is dangerous because of our guilt. In verse 1 we read, therefore thou art inexcusable. Or it could read, thou art indefensible. In other words, we don't have the right personally to judge because we are guilty. We are not innocent. And therefore, if we judge in our own right, we are inexcusable. Romans 3, 19 and 20. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. We are guilty. And therefore we do not have the right in ourselves, and I emphasize that, I think you know why I'm emphasizing that, we don't have the right in me, in myself, to judge anybody. But secondly, human judgment is dangerous because of our humanness. Because of our humanness. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. We are just human. Therefore we don't have a right, again, in and of ourselves to judge, because we are no different than anybody else. One of the things you'll notice with false religions and cults is, I had reason to be reminded of the what was called the Guyana tragedy, or the what happened back in the late 70s in Jonestown, where a man was exalted to a position in people's minds of divinity. He called himself God, and it led to a point where he actually, under his instruction, 900 people lost their lives. We are just men. We are just human. And human judgment is dangerous because not only are we guilty, but because we are human. Romans 9:20, Paul says, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? One of the wickedness, or the wickedness of human beings, depraved human beings, is they think they have a right to challenge God. They think they have a right to stand in the face of God and present themselves as equals, challenging God. Paul puts us in our place in Romans 9, doesn't he? Who are we that reply against God? But then, thirdly, human judgment is dangerous because of our nothingness. Not only are we guilty, not only are we human, but in our text, it implies how little we are. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art. It's almost as if the apostle is saying, in other words, you know, what or who do we think we are? We live in a society where people are constantly being told, think great things of yourselves. You know, there's nothing you cannot do. Scripture comes to us, and not for any reason to just make us feel bad, but the scripture comes to us and puts us where, in if I can put it this way, in our proper place. We are guilty. We are human. And in a sense, we are nothing. Therefore, for us to become judges is very dangerous. That's why Paul could say in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 5, for we preach not ourselves. Why? Because he realized that to preach ourselves is of no benefit and it would be a betrayal of the gospel. But Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Galatians 6 verse 3 puts it this way. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. There's great liberty, isn't there? And great freedom when you come to realize what you truly are. People try and deceive themselves that they are something wonderful. The Word of God says we need to realize what we are. Not to build ourselves up falsely, but to realize that we are human, that we are guilty, and that in the sight of God, we, as Job could say, are not men even, but worms in the sight of God. But then fourthly, human judgment is dangerous because of its consequences. Human judgment is dangerous because of its consequences. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. It's like what someone once said, wasn't it? That when you point one finger at somebody else, three fingers are pointing back. The consequence of judging is that we judge ourselves even more. Because the Word of God says that by the measure we use, it shall be measured to us. And by our words we shall be what? Condemned. By our words, yes, acquitted and condemned. Matthew 7. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. But then fifthly, human judgment is dangerous because of our hypocrisy. Human judgment is dangerous because of our hypocrisy. The end of verse 1 reads, for thou that judgest doest the same things. It's the height of hypocrisy, isn't it? A Christian said to me recently, I feel like a hypocrite. And I think in the end we realized that the person wasn't a hypocrite. This is a hypocrite. Somebody that passes judgment on somebody else while going on doing the very same things, that is hypocrisy. It's exactly what the Pharisees did and what the scribes were doing. They were going about having the appearance, passing judgment on all around them, while inwardly they were guilty of the same sins. We go on back in Matthew 7 verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Now, we have to ask a very important question. Does this then mean, as sometimes people do say, that we are not to make any judgment at all? Well, we say no. And I think some of you probably got the idea of where I was going, the way I was saying things. Verse 5 itself proves that we are not, verse 5 in Matthew 7, proves that we are not forbidden to make judgments. We are just forbidden to make hypocritical judgments. The key New Testament book that deals with the subject of judgment is 1 Corinthians, and we can add 2 Corinthians with that as well. And I want to just look at just some key verses dealing with this subject. If you turn with me, first of all, to 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 9. And we see here, first of all, we are to make judgments in the church. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9. And there's a few verses actually here, but we won't have as many in the rest of them. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to keep company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, for with such a one know not to eat. Now this means judgment. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without or outside? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, chapter 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church. See what he's saying, verse 4? The very least people in the church, these are the ones that are enabled to judge. Verse 5, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. So the Bible does not forbid judging. But it does forbid human judging and hypocritical judging. Now, secondly, in Corinthians, we are to make judgments with regard to the Word of God. Over in chapter 10, one verse, verse 15. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 15. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. We are to make judgments. Every time we read the Scripture, we are to judge, not in the sense of condemning the Word of God, but we are to read it as those who are constantly making decisions about what the Bible is saying. So this modern idea that we're just to go around with some sort of nebulous attitude towards everything is not Christian. We are to judge, but judge biblically. Then thirdly, we are to judge ourselves. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, talking of the Lord's table, and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. We are to judge ourselves. And the fact that the Corinthians weren't doing this goes on that verse 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." So we're to judge in the church, we're to make judgments regarding the word of God, and we are to judge ourselves. Fourthly, we are to judge preachers and their preaching. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 29, we're to judge preachers and their preaching. "Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge." And the other there refers to everybody else. It's not just one other person. "Let the prophet speak." You are to be here listening to the preaching tonight and constantly making judgment calls about what is being said. We're to be like the Bereans, aren't we? They listened to Paul and they carefully checked everything he said with the word of God. There's nothing worse than when you go to a church, and I've preached in one or two places over the years where you look down and nobody has a Bible. And it's great to look down at people opening their Bibles, making notes, because that's, we're meant to be those. I'm not saying you have to make notes, by the way, but it's good to see it. We're meant to be those who are really, it's something I do when I'm listening to a sermon. I feel that I work just as hard in listening to a sermon as when I preach it. Because we're meant to be not just, someone once said to me, well, more than once, somebody once said, well, you know, you believe in a one-man ministry and everybody else does nothing. I mean, what a foolish idea. James tells us that we are to be effective hearers. We are to be effective hearers. That we are fully engaged with the word of God as it's been preached. But then, over to 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. "Every time the gospel is preached by his servants, men are judged." Every time the gospel is preached, men are judged. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and make it manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place." Here's the verse. "For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savour of death unto death, and to the other the savour of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" Paul realises that what the Christian ministry is all about is making that dividing line. Where the gospel is preached and it is a stench in some people's nostrils, and it is the savour of life in others. And that is judgment. But it is not human judgment. It is not that the minister himself is judging. It is that the word of God is judging. It is that the gospel is making that judgment. The gospel presentation is dividing a line between those who are lost and going to hell and those who are saved and going to heaven. But look at verse 70. "For we are not as many." We think it's only a modern phenomenon that so many corrupt the word of God. "We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ." That's when the dividing line gets made. Sincerity as of truth, not corrupting the word of God. If it was true back then that many corrupted the word of God, let us not be surprised that it happens now. You can say with full conviction, now here's a judgment call. Based upon this, most of those who call themselves evangelical churches need to at least be challenged regarding how evangelical they really are. It was true in Paul's day. It's certainly true in our day. Our last point in this section. This is based on our judgment regarding to the death of Christ over in chapter 5 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 13. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because, here it comes, because we thus judge. See, again, making a judgment. That if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. When I was talking with Nandi this morning, and one of the things that he said grieved him is that he talked to some Christians in church, but then when he met them outside, and especially when they were in the presence of the ungodly, they seemed to change, influenced by their surroundings. That's true of all of us to some degree, isn't it? I know that is true of me to some degree, where we can be so influenced. But here the Apostle Paul, the gospel has such an effect on him that it makes this judgment call, that the love of Christ constrained him so much that no longer we as Christians, if we name the name of Christ, we no longer live for ourselves. We no longer live for my pleasure. But we live for Christ. If Christ was God, one missionary once said, and he died for me, nothing that I can do is too much for him. We are Christians. We live for Christ. Hypocritical judgment is dangerous. Sixthly, I think. I have these down as letters F. Is that sixth? Hypocritical judgment is dangerous because of the sure judgment of God. Verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. Hebrews 9 says, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Listen, we go to the world, and the reason we go to them is because the Word of God says that when they die, if they die outside of Christ, they are lost. That's a judgment call, isn't it? It's not a judgment call that we make. It's what the Word of God says. Why is the judgment of God sure? Look at the verse. Look at Romans 2:2. Why is the judgment of God sure? Is it because he is all-powerful? I remember our ex-elder Dan, who's gone to glory. I remember many years ago in his sitting room saying, God is not right because of his might. It's not because he has the biggest stick. That's not the reason why his judgment is sure. Look what it says in verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. It's because he is the God of truth. It's because not of his might, but it's because of his righteousness. Because he is right, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may become guilty before God. But then hypocritical judgment is dangerous, because God in truth is against hypocrisy. Verse 2 again. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 23. Let's turn there briefly. Just a couple of verses. It's this whole chapter. We won't obviously read the chapter together. But Matthew 23 is one of these great sermons or speeches of the Lord Jesus Christ, or proclamations of the Lord Jesus Christ against the sinfulness and hypocrisy of the Pharisees. The whole chapter is read with profit in that context, but just a couple of verses. Look at verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. What a condemnation. Verse 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Every preacher of the gospel should memorize that verse to make sure they are not one like the Pharisees. Verse 23, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Brothers and sisters, we need to get to the place where we, the only thing that we care about is cleansing our minds. Cleansing our minds. Cleansing our hearts. That nothing else matters, because once we cleanse the mind, the rest will be clean. The Lord Jesus says it in verse 26, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, verse 27, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like unto a whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. We need to pray that God would deliver us from hypocrisy. It's the one thing that God hates. One of the things that God hates the most is hypocrisy. That God would make us pure. The Lord Jesus said, unless our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, we shall by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I said this last week, he's not there primarily talking about the doctrine of imputed righteousness. He's talking there about the kind of righteousness that we pursue. A righteousness of heart, a righteousness of mind. But then hypocritical judgment, I've forgotten the numbers, it's H, whatever H is. Hypocritical judgment is dangerous because of self-deception. Here's a hard one, isn't it? Here's a difficult one, verse 3. Self-deception. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Do you really think that you will escape the judgment of God? Many do, don't they? Many do. So many false religions in the world. They must think they're going to escape the judgment of God. Galatians 6, be not deceived. Verse 7, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Paul speaking of his own ministry in 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Is another one for preachers to memorize. Let not many of you be teachers or masters, as the AV says, for we or they shall receive a greater judgment. It makes you want to run away from the pulpit. We need to realize the gravity of these things. Finally, Paul probes deeper to the root of the problem in verse 4. First with a rhetorical question. It's like he's getting to the real point here. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and along? Is this, it's like Paul saying, is this really the problem? Do you just despise God? Is all your hypocrisy hiding one overall principle? That you despise God. That you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. You carry on your hypocrisy. How can you do that if you don't despise God? Not knowing that the goodness of God, the reason the goodness of God exists is to lead you to repentance. People say, oh, well, God is loving, God is good. Well, the whole reason for those attributes and characteristics according to the apostle is so that we will repent. And if we don't repent because of God's goodness, we are despising him. We are hating him. But then with the declaration in verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up. What imagery here in verse 5? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now we have the divine judgment. God's judgment is righteous. And then we have a final warning. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. We need to flee easy believism. We need to flee that. It has destroyed millions. It will destroy millions more. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. May God help us to dwell on these words. Please go home tonight and dwell on these words in your own heart. May God help us to be true seekers of his word and his kingdom. Let us stand for closing prayer. Oh Lord, we pray that you would make us, those who make the right use of your love, the right use of your goodness. Lord, sanctify us by thy truth. Lord, it horrifies me to think that anyone in this room could end up on the wrong side of your judgment. Oh Lord, enable us for this moment to forget everything else in the world, and that we might do real business with you in our hearts, and that we might truly long that we would become like Christ, that we would be conformed evermore to his glorious image. Lord, deliver us from hypocrisy. Deliver us from anything that would be like a double heart. Give us devotion, single-hearted devotion to God. Lord, make Christ precious in our eyes. Enable us to love him. Enable us to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. O Lord, strengthen us with thy grace. Strengthen us with thy love. Strengthen us, Lord, according to your truth. May the word of God become our food. May it become everything that we need, everything we desire. May we starve when we don't have your word. And may we crave, as newborn babes, the pure milk of the word. Lord, may you be all our desire. May we say with David, when will I see God? When will I meet with him? I will be satisfied only when I awake in thy presence. O Lord, help us. Revive us, Lord. Bring true, spiritual, godly, heaven-sent revival into our hearts. Lord, be merciful. Bless and pity us, we pray. Shine on us with thy face. Lord, that we and the world may know all that it is to know your saving grace. And may Christ be exalted in our lives this week. May we go forth from this place with Jesus Christ enthroned in our minds, in all that we are, that we would be willing to forsake all for him, to leave all this world for that one pearl of great price. Enable us, Lord, and strengthen us. We give you thanks for that which we shall receive, everything from your good hand. In our Saviour's precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.